Before that, we begin a short selection of programmes from Hinge and Bracket's first radio series. Although their routine started in gay clubs, Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Bracket are more character comedy than the high camp of, say, Danny LaRue. Patrick Fife, who died a year ago today, in fact, was Dame Hilda Bracket to George Logan's Dr. Evadne Hinge. Quintessentially English, elderly, music-loving eccentrics, this extraordinary double act achieved huge success. Their first radio series began on the 16th of March, 1977.
The enchanting world of Hinge and Bracket. In a village just outside Huddersfield, there is a plaque on the wall of the community centre bearing the words, "Officially opened by Dr. Evadne Hinge and Dame Hilda Bracket." That ceremony took place 25 years ago, and tomorrow, on the occasion of the centre's own Silver Jubilee celebrations, Dame Hilda and the Doctor have been invited back as guests of honour. But all that's tomorrow. This is tonight.
Evadne! Evadne! Evadne!
Is that you calling Hilda?
No, dear, it's Florence Nightingale. Never mind. How long are you going to be in the attic?
Pardon?
How long are you going to be in the attic?
I'm in the attic, dear.
I made you a beaker of cocoa and it's going cold.
I'm coming down now. Hilda?
Yes?
Make me a beaker of cocoa.
I hope it does go cold. Serves her right. I say it'll serve her right, Milton. Who's a pretty boy, then? Sweetheart. You love your little mummy, don't you, Milton? Come on, then. Give mummy a kiss. That's it. Come on. Ooh. Milton, that hurt. You're a naughty boy.
Can you open the door, Hilda?
It's not locked, dear.
No, I've got my hands full. Thank you, dear. Now help me with this box, will you?
What on earth have you brought down, dear?
You'll find out in a minute, dear. I've been having a good rummage round. Oh, it's cold up in that attic. Ah, you've made my cocoa. Lovely. Mmm, very nice. Pity you didn't make it with hot milk, wasn't it?
Yes, well, I lost the recipe, you see, dear.
And there don't seem to be any petit beurre biscuits left either.
I know. I had the last one.
Oh.
Well, actually, it was Milton who had it.
Hilda, you know I like my petit beurre biscuit to go to bed with.
Yes, well, so did Milton, dear. Enjoyed it immensely, didn't you, Milton?
Well, I wonder if he likes cold cocoa.
There's plenty of those biscuits with a blob of jam in the middle.
I don't like those.
Well, no, and neither does Milton. He ends up with the jam all over his feathers and his beak stuck together. You know, all jammed and feathered. Anyway, what's in that dusty old box?
Well, while you've been down here force-feeding Milton with my petit beurre biscuit, I've been looking for my winter boots.
Well, what do you want for your winter boots, dear? It's August.
Yes, but we are going up north for the weekend.
Exactly. You say that as if we have to catch a dog sleigh at Potter's Bar. Well, I hardly think that in the last week of August we're likely to encounter snowdrifts in Huddersfield. A light covering, maybe.
Well, I came across this box of music, dear. Now, there are some things in here I've completely forgotten about. Now, look at this, Hilda. Excelsior, a duet for tenor and baritone.
Oh, yes. Well, now we came to have that. Are there any more treasures in there, dear?
Well, I'll empty it on the table, dears.
Oh, look, there's some photographs as well. Oh, look at this. It's that one I took of you on the beach at Bournemouth.
Oh, let me see.
You know, I think this is the best picture I've ever taken.
You've cut my head off.
Yes, I know, dear. Must have had my thumb over the lens. But it's very good of the ice cream cart. Oh, and look at this one. Oh, don't I look a sight? night in this awful bathing costume.
That's not you, Hilda. It's me.
Oh, I say, look. It's the vocal score from Floradora. A fancy net. And would you believe it? Look. A red rose pressed between the pages.
Oh.
You know, this rose was from the bouquet presented to me after the final performance.
Really?
You didn't get a bouquet, did you, dear?
I can't remember.
Oh, I can. You didn't get one. Probably a mistake. You know, somebody forgot to get you one or something.
Oh,
look what I found. Fold your wings. We haven't sung this for ages.
Wasn't it too low for you, dear?
Of course it wasn't too low for me. Well, we can soon find out. Come along, dear. Let's have a go.
Very well, dear. Yes.
Hold your wings, lovely, fold them close till they fall. I'm your slave and your defender. I love them.
Hold your wings forever, shield.
Singing in Mr. Fuster's letter.
Oh, I know. But we're bound to be expected to sing. I mean, why are we going to their Silver Jubilee celebrations?
Because we performed the official opening there 25 years ago.
Yes, but apart from that,
Hilda, Mr. Fuster has not mentioned the verb to sing in any correspondence about our visit.
You're being deliberately tenacious. Mr. Fuster is obviously the sort of man who will insist on it.
But we've never met Mr. Fuster.
I can tell by his handwriting. He's a very delicate, sensitive, musical person. And the reason he hasn't asked us to sing in his letter is because he feels we might be insulted.
Do you remember reading that gentleman's handwriting on holiday last year in Brighton?
Yeah.
You do?
Yes.
You told me he was unscrupulous, untrustworthy, and had criminal tendencies.
Correct.
And he was a chief constable. Are you sure you can manage these two cases, Hilda?
Yes, of course I can, dear. Are you sure you can manage those three?
We must look ludicrous, dear. Anyone would think we were going on a 3-month safari.
Oh, don't start again, Yvette.
Oh, yes. Fancy bringing 8 evening dresses.
We must have a choice, dear. We don't want to clash with the curtains like we did in Scunthorpe. Can you see Mr. Fuster anywhere, dear?
Well, that's a silly question. I don't even know what he looks like.
Well, can you see anybody who looks as though they're looking for somebody, who's looking for someone they've never seen before?
No, and I'm not even going to try.
Excuse me. Is it Mrs. Finch and Mrs. Brackett?
Well, no, not quite, but I presume you are Mr. Fuster.
Ah, that's right. Harry Fuster. Get it? Harry Fuster? I refuse to take no for an answer. Oh, I always say that. Oh, I've caught some people out with that one in my time. It's my favourite joke, that one.
Yes, it's very funny, Mr. Fuster. Very funny. I'm Dame Hilda Brackett, and this is my companion, Dr. Hinge.
Oh, Dr. Hinge? I bet you've opened a few doors in your time, eh? Do you get it? Hinge, door. I just bend that up. Oh, it's a gift I have.
Yes, it must be.
Maybe I can have a few words with you later, Doctor, about this pain in my shoulder.
Actually, I'm a doctor of music.
Oh, doctor of music. You don't have a first aid kit, then? You have a drum kit. Do you get it? Drum kit. Oh, once I get going, there's no stopping me.
Oh, dear.
Well, what do you say to a spot of lunch somewhere?
What a splendid idea. Now, we are rather peckish.
We were saying in the train, Mr. Fuster, that when we were here 25 years ago, we had a splendid meal at... What was it, Hilda? The old Tudor tea rooms.
Ah, well, it's a pity, that is. Because the old Tudor tea rooms is now the old Chingling Chow's.
I beg your pardon?
Well, they don't do toasted muffins now. It's Fu Young and things, you know, Chinese.
Chinese? But what's happened to Mrs. Appleby?
She's been taken over by a takeaway. Do you get it?
You know it, Daphne. Why don't we try this Chinese place? After all, we're in foreign parts and we really ought to support the common market.
Right then, ladies, follow me. I've got the rickshaw outside. That's a good one, isn't it?
Oh, dear. Oh, what is it, dear?
Heartburn, dear. You know I'm susceptible to heartburn.
Yes, dear. Pass me my slippers, will you?
Thank you.
Not a very pleasant thing, heartburn. And my tweed jacket, please.
It's most uncomfortable, Hilda.
Yes, dear, it must be. And those coat hangers, if you would, dear.
Of course, you've never suffered from heartburn, have
well,
you?
Not that I've noticed. Now, where did I put my bed jacket?
I should never have eaten all that number 43.
And all that number 26, either. Too spicy, you see. Whatever it was. Looked like knotted string. Where did I put that music?
I shall have to rest for an hour or two.
Yes, it was probably the number 26. You should have had 34 like I did. I rarely enjoyed those sardines on toast.
Yes, you always were adventurous, weren't you? Sardines, indeed. Hardly a native dish.
Well, they did come from Portugal, dear.
I'm sorry, I'll have to leave you to do the unpacking. In fact, I'm afraid I won't be fit enough to attend the celebrations this evening.
But you must, dear. Everyone's expecting you to play the piano.
Hilda, I have been trying to tell you I'm not well. I have heartburn.
But not in the fingers, dear. You haven't got finger burn.
Hilda, you have an unhealthy obsession with the desire to perform at this function. Can't you get it into your head that they don't want us to?
Has anybody said so?
No, but they haven't said they do.
Come in.
See you, biscuits, ladies.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Fuster.
Don't thank me. Thank the wife. I'm just the waiter. What a way to carry on. Hey, that's a good one, isn't it? Do you get it?
Yes. Most diverting.
Oh, petty bird biscuits. My favourites.
Yes. What a pity you can't have any, dear.
What do you mean, Hilda?
Your heartburn.
Oh, yes. Well, it's feeling a bit easier, would you believe?
Yes, I would.
Well, Granny used to get heartburn a lot. It's a thing with the older people.
Yes, I never get it at all.
She used to soak burnt toast in water and drink it.
Oh, I think I prefer the heartburn.
Ah, so did she. Anyway, about tonight. I thought we might go through the timetable. We depart from here, 18:30 hours. Rendezvous in the foyer, 18:41, for photographs with the mayoress. 18:45, sherry with the committee, or listen to the archers. Did you get it? 18:45, quarter to seven, the archers. 18:59, assemble on the platform. 1900 hours, proceedings commence. Now, the speeches last for half an hour to an hour, depending on how many sherries the mayoress has had. and then there's one thing I haven't mentioned to you up to this moment in time. That is our evening's entertainment.
Ah, yes. Now, I wonder when you are going to get round to this.
Ah, well, to be honest, I wanted it to be a surprise item.
Oh, well, we love surprises, Mr. Fuster. Carry on.
Well, it's public demand, really.
Well, yes, I thought it would be.
You see, at the committee meeting, everybody thought it would be marvellous if you could entertain us like you apparently did 25 years ago. However, we decided against it, and we've asked my nephew's rock group to do it.
You've asked a rock group?
Yes, sir, I knew you'd be pleased. After all, we didn't want to impose on you in your retirement.
But Mr. Buster...
Yes, I know, yes, yes. It was the least we could do. You must get fed up of being asked to sing everywhere you go. And we don't want you going home tomorrow wishing you'd never come.
And is this rock group good, Mr. Fuster?
It must be good. They're the loudest I've ever heard. They won the West Riding Rock Marathon last summer. 47 hours, 26 minutes of non-stop rock. I'd call it the Rock of Ages. Do you get it? I'll leave you to your tea. We want to be off in about half an hour.
Well, I suppose you'll be pleased that we're not singing Evadne.
I'm absolutely furious. Rock group, indeed. The man has no taste, Hilda. Fancy preferring a set of amateurs to us.
But you didn't want to play in the first place, did you, dear?
I knew I didn't. That was when I thought they wanted us to sing. Now that they don't want us to, I want to.
I must admit, I'm rather hurt.
Well, I'm seething.
But we can't do anything about it, dear. It's their loss. I'm afraid we'll just have to make the best of it. I'm over here, Evette.
Ah, there you are, Hilda. Did you get me a sherry?
Yes, dear.
Well, where is it?
I drank it.
Well, you could have got me another one.
I did, dear, and I drank that one.
Did you?
Well, it was for your own good, Evette. I didn't want to bring on your heartburn again.
You didn't give me much chance, did you?
Sorry, dear. Oh, hello. Yes, lovely. Yes, oh, I like the colour. Yes.
Who was that, Hilda?
I've no idea. Whoever she is, her dress looks ridiculous.
I think you ought to wear your glasses all the time, dear. As a clergyman.
Oh, silly me.
Oh, hello there.
Yes.
Thank you. Having a lovely time.
Who was that, then?
The president, dear. Oh. We had a little chat earlier on, you know, and we have a mutual interest in Dvorak.
Oh, lovely.
The trouble is, he thinks he's a detective or something on television.
I thought the speeches went very well, dear.
Oh, very well indeed. The mayoress was doing splendidly till she fell over.
It was very funny when Mr. Fuster tried to lift her up and she grabbed him in a headlock. Poor Mr. Fuster. And there's such a lot of her.
Yes. It must have been like grappling with a zeppelin, as you think.
Someone should have guarded the sherry when she arrived.
Oh, well, she brought her own there.
It was amazing that she could be so speechless and talk for so long.
Yeah. Oh, look, Hilda. I think something's happening on the stage.
Thank you, everybody. Quiet, please. Now settle down. Thank you. Well, now we come to the highlight of the evening. Fred, could you stop Madame Mayoress doing the hokey-cokey? Yes, well, the highlight of our evening is... Thanks, Fred. Our own local rock group, the Bert Illingworth Experience. Now, I believe the lads are ready. All right, lads. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bert Illingworth Experience.
Hello,
Oh, dearie, that's it. They appear to have blown up.
Oh, it's probably part of the air.
Quiet, quiet, please, quiet, everybody. Please, quiet. Now, we seem to have a slight technical glitch. Unfortunately, Bert Elliman's amplifier seems to have busted. Now, if you could talk among yourselves just for a few minutes, and we'll try and see what we can organise. We'll try and organise it. Just a second.
So much for artificial aids, dear.
Don't look now, Hilda, but Mr. Thewster is heading this way.
Oh, look, I'm sorry about this, ladies, but we're in a right mess. Bert's amplifier's blown a fuse.
How shocking. Do you get it, Mr. Thewster? Electric shocking.
Oh, look, this is serious. Is it possible that you could come to our rescue?
Oh, I'm afraid we're hopeless at mending amplifiers.
No, I mean, perform for us on the stage.
Well, I don't think so, dear. You see, we're totally unprepared.
Yes, and as you yourself so kindly said, we are retired.
Yes, but I'm in a mess. What am I going to tell all these people?
Well, why don't you tell them some of your jokes, Mr. Fuchs?
And then we can catch the early train.
Now, look, we won't let you down. I think we might be able to remember a couple of our songs.
Oh, thank you, thank you. Oh, I don't know what to say. Oh, shall I go up on stage and announce you?
No, we'll do that ourselves. Now, if you could just extract Madame Maris's head from the piano, we'll make a start. Excuse me.
Yes,
thank you. Yes, we are. Thank you very much. Excuse me. Yes. Well, thank you. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. That's very nice. It's most unexpected. I'm afraid we're quite unprepared. Now, we never imagined in our wildest dreams that we would be singing on this stage just 25 years after the inaugural ceremony.
Yes, it's a quick return booking, wasn't it, dear?
However, we'd like to open our little effort with a lovely duet for two voices. This comes from Act 2 of Yeoman of the Guard by Gilbert and Sullivan. Now, it's a very pretty duet, and in this, Dr. Hinge will be singing for you the role of Sergeant Merrill, Chief Yeoman, and myself, I will be singing the role of Dame Carruthers, the aging wardress of the Grim Grail Tower of London. So the lovely duet from Act 2, Rapture, Rapture. Rapture, rapture, when the votary flushed with capture seeks the notary. Joy and jollity, deck and equality, praise frivolity. Rapture, rapture, joy and jollity, deck and equality, praise frivolity. Rapture, rapture, beautiful, beautiful, wedding humanity with insoluble hospitality. Call to liberty, dog activity, activity, notable, notable, call to captivity, notable, notable, joyful, joyful, when the divinity thinks of joyful man's affinity. Speak of glory, right of glory, is a dolly, joyful, joyful, speak of glory, right of glory, is a dolly, joyful, joyful. Darcy, Darcy, when they're fond to firstly, Darcy, off the bottle, up the tenny, gives the tenny, do the merry, Darcy, Darcy, joyful, joyful, Now, we do realize, of course, that some of the younger people here this evening must be terribly disappointed at what happened to Mr. Bert Illingworth and his wonderful experience. Well, now, For all you lucky boys and girls, we would like to do a modern number. Something straight out of the charts. Or Tin Pot Ollie, as I believe it's called. So, if our pop fans are ready to receive, we would like to sing for you that lovely song made famous by James the Other Day. We'll be again, the last 2.5 hours have really flown, haven't they? Well, and it's so, we'll come to say goodnight and to close our little spot. A very lovely song that is very patriotic. And we thought it would be rather nice that there's not so many of you people here this evening who I know would like to join us. And, of course, not forgetting the members of the Huddersfield Choral Society. A voice to every man. Perhaps if I give you the beat, you'll join us in this number. Keep on fighting while you're smiling. Though the lines are far away, they
enchanting world, Hinge and Bracket were joined by dashing Dougie Brown as Mr. Fuster. The script was written by that delightful trio, Mike Craig, Laurie Kinsley and Ron McDonald, and produced in fragrant Manchester by gentleman James Casey.
Next week, Hinge and Bracket set off for a Mediterranean cruise.